Okay, so here are the rails. And here is our show.
Completely off. Completely gone today. What in the world? Derailed.
Yay, you're here. Welcome to the CK and GK podcast. Let's get going.
It's Tuesday!
Hooray! You're here! We're so glad.
Welcome to CK and GK. We're so happy to teach you all the things that we had to learn the hard way.
Hopefully not all the things. I mean, there's so many. Oh, goodness. Okay.
So with me today is Caitlin. I'm going to nickname her Webster because she gives meaning to my life.
Oh, how sweet of you. Well, she's got it, dude. Michelle Tanner over here. She just spit out her drink, you guys. She just spit out her drink. Yes. I hope y'all heard it. It was amazing.
Oh, great, great, great,
got
great,
it,
great,
dude.
I think we're funnier when we record at night than when we record first thing in the morning.
Listen, it's been a long day. Y'all, we are in our jammies right now.
We are.
I got my blue light glasses on so that right after this, I can just take them off and go right to sleep.
My husband has been out of town all week, and I am so excited to have him back, because I miss him and stuff, but also because, I need a partner.
Right. Because it's hard. Yeah. The people who are, single parents, y'all do God's work, because I can't. Right? When my husband was gone for, 3 days in June, I nearly lost my mind. Now, granted, I didn't have school to save me, right? I couldn't send my child to school and get anything done. He had morning camp and he was there for 2.5 hours. You can get nothing done in 2.5 hours, just FYI.
Abby and I were on our own for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I look back on it and said, how did I stay alive during that time?
Yeah.
How was I a single mom for a year and a half?
Yeah, people who do that, it's not an easy task, and I commend y'all for it. Yeah, exactly. Commend y'all.
In fact, shout out to you.
Right? Exactly.
Single parents.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to give a quick shout out to Good Pods this week.
Because, actually, shout out to us.
Yeah, we deserve it. It's us. It's our shout out. Here's the story. On Sunday, my family and I are driving to meet some family members for a lunch, and I tweeted at Good Pods. I don't know what it was. It was something like, hey, check us out. We're on a chart. And then I put my phone away for the lunch, and I, at some point, picked it up to do something. I think my son wanted me to take a picture. And then I see that there's a message or something, a from Good Pods. So I just figured, oh, they saw the tweet and they liked it, no big deal. No. I get in the car. It's a DM from Good Pods. And what it actually says is, hey, it's just a screenshot with a heart. And it says that we are one of their Good Pods team recommends shows, which was so cool. We were the first one.
When you open the app.
Exactly. It was the first one underneath Good Pods team recommends. You didn't have to swipe or scroll. It was right there. So that was super awesome. And it made me really happy. So thank you to Good Pods.
Shout out to y'all for shouting out to us.
Exactly. I also need to give an update from our friend Brian, who sent us that listener question. So I'm going to real quick. Yeah. He sent us an email back that was really, really nice. But here's what he says. He said, the situation was resolved, and your advice was delightful and critical for the resolution. My daughter didn't fully understand the last several projects and their requirements and those expectations of the assignments. I think there was some general miscommunication about them because the teacher and my daughter weren't very close at the time. I, as a parent, was not completely aware of the expectations when I read my daughter's work and now see that she didn't do the assignment badly per se, but she simply didn't perform as was suggested by the requirements. The teacher was understanding, and together we have talked to my daughter about fully reading the requirements, and they have formed somewhat of a bond. So that was really good. Oh, right, exactly. Yay! There's more. It says, I'm so honored to have received advice from such prestigious podcasters such as yourselves. I mean, Ryan, you are just scoring points all over the place here.
This is the first time I've ever been called prestigious.
I know, right? I'm not a prestigious person.
As I record in my pajamas.
Yeah, exactly. The sweatpants and the messed up hair. It's a good look. All right, so then that's my look. That's not hers. She looks way more put together than me. And it says that I think your fans would appreciate what knowing that the situation has been resolved and your advice on the matter really, in all caps, really works. Thank you so much for your wisdom from Brian. So thank you, Brian. Thanks, Brian. We appreciate that you sent us that update. We're so glad it worked out. Ultimately, the goal is for you and your daughter and your teacher to have a great relationship this year, and I hope that it continues.
And after all, we're for kids. So I'm so glad that she's feeling close to her teacher.
I know. That's so sweet. I loved that part. Really, really nice.
Okay. Well, we should transition. We should have some circle time. We should all gather on the carpet, sit crisscross applesauce, and tell stories.
Like a camp.
Right? I have a camp story for later.
I'm sure you do. Camp counselor Jenny.
Just wait. All right, I'm going to talk about sports. And actually, I am going to tell a story that I don't own. This really should be your story, Caitlin, but I'm going to tell it anyway.
Okay, you do it.
Okay, so I got a text last night saying, oh my gosh, Aaron Judge did it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I was prestigiously coaching flag football last night.
As one
while
does.
John is out of town. As one does. So I stepped in.
Prestigious coach Jenny. Thank you.
So I missed the Aaron Judge number 61 home run. But you know I watched the coverage, and you know I went back and watched a loop on Twitter over and over and over again. Okay. So 1961, Roger Maris hit 61 home runs during the regular season. And he actually hit the 61st on the last game of the season, which was on October the 1st, breaking the previous record of 60 set by the great Bambino.
The Sultan of SWAT. The King of Crash. Yes. The Colossus of Clout. The Colossus of Clout. Shut up, Tommy.
So this is a record from 1927 that Babe Ruth had 60 home runs. Mm-hmm. So Aaron Judge has had a dry spell for 7 games, hadn't hit a
also,
home run in a while.
To be fair, they were walking him quite a bit too, which was kind of jacked
up
in
absolutely
my mind. But yes, yeah. You're right. Yeah,
well, and you know, when we were waiting for Albert Pujols to hit 700.
Yeah.
We watched a couple of what looked like intentional walks. They didn't call for it the way you can just make a sign and walk the guy.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of times where I was like, man, that's way outside. That pitcher doesn't want to be the one who gave
him
700.
Yeah, no, they don't want to be it. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, they were playing the Blue Jays in Toronto. Roger Maris Jr. was there as well as Aaron Judge's mom.
Yes.
It was super sweet. As I'm going back and rewatching, because I didn't see it live the way Caitlin did.
It was cool.
They, like, kept going back. This was actually his fourth at-bat up in the seventh inning. There are some other players who have broken 61. I don't want there to be a misconception that we are celebrating the most home runs hit in a single season. That's not what this record
is.
No,
this is a tie. This is right. A tie. Yeah.
So,
and
right. So, Roger Maris broke Babe Ruth's record from 1927 of 60 home runs in a single season. He broke it with 61. Aaron Judge has now tied that record, but there is another record, okay? Mm-hmm. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Sam Sosa have all hit more than 62 home runs mm-hmm. in a season.
Mm-hmm.
But they all get an asterisk,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because they were all juicing.
Yeah.
And so, Roger Maris Jr., okay? My dad hit the record. Roger Maris Jr.
Yeah.
Said, you know what? If Aaron Judge hit 62, I think Major League Baseball needs to do something about it.
I think so too.
This is the true record. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, and this is him standing up against his dad's record saying, yeah. I think it means something. Barry Bonds said hitting 61 is the hardest, but he expects Judge to hit 62. There's still six games left in the regular season. And those are the only games to which this record counts. So even if he hits more home runs in the postseason, that doesn't count towards this count of 62. Now, the coolest thing about this is when he hit the ball and it goes over the fence, it went into the Blue Jays bullpen. Right. That's where the pitchers warm up.
Right.
So it did not go to a fan. It did not go to a sports memorabilia collector. Nobody's trying to trade it on eBay for $150 million. The funniest thing, though, is they sent several guys. Two officials went to the bullpen to collect the ball for Aaron. And the guys wouldn't give it up. They said, we don't know if we're giving it to the wrong person, so we won't give it to anyone but Aaron Judge.
Yeah, they were so careful. So I watched that part. I heard the crack. I had turned my head for a moment and I heard the crack and I was like, that's it. That's it. I mean, I've watched enough baseball. You probably have too at this point too. You know what that sound is when it's going to fly. And I heard that and I went, oh my gosh. And I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Aaron Judge. I didn't realize. And I watched the ball go into the stands to two Toronto fans. And it hits them, and it drops. And you just see, like, you see the ball hit, like, or go down, and you see them put their arms over their head, like, oh, no! Like, it was a swear. Yeah. It was a swear word, right? But, like, you could just see the, like, oh, my gosh, what have I done? I dropped the ball. And there were two of them who did this. But when it dropped, where it landed was so great. It made me so happy. And it was really, really awesome to see his mom there. She was on her phone the rest of the night. Like, she could not, like, get people to leave her alone the rest of the night. I mean, it was just so, so amazing. So I want to come back to this point that you made about this asterisk being on Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, because actually my husband and I were talking about this last night, but it's really unfair to Aaron Judge right now that it's not a bigger deal that he did this, right? This record set by Roger Maris is 60-some years old, 61 years old. Weird. 61. What? To watch those connections being made. Okay, so to me, it's unfair to him that it's not a bigger deal. And I also think it's kind of unfair to baseball, right? Because people don't think it's a big deal because these records has already been broken by these other sluggers from the 90s, but they were juicing, and there's so many people who are like, yeah, but that means, you know, the number doesn't matter because he's not breaking a record. But he really is. It's so much more valuable. I mean, I don't know.
And I have to say, I think if you truly love the game, you're impressed by this.
Oh, 100%. 100% you are. And you know what? You should be anyway, because again, as we talked about last week, the person who's closest to Aaron Judge right now is like 20 home runs back.
This is huge. And you know how many home runs I hit this season?
I'm going to guess a goose egg on that one.
Absolutely none. You're right. I came close in game four.
I was thinking maybe in your own head, like in your dreams last night or whatever.
Yeah. No, that's the thing is, you know, I keep going back to Cappy saying only 21,000 men have ever played this game.
I know.
And to think, like, oh, we're balking at 61 home runs because somebody on steroids hit 73. Who cares?
Right. Two somebodies who were not on steroids hit 61. That's a big deal. Two out of 21,000 people. Like, imagine, like, it's such an incredible, incredible accomplishment. So I'm really hoping that he gets another one. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm optimistic for him. I'm going to keep talking about Toronto, and I'm going to keep talking about baseball for a second. I have just learned of this player, so I'm hoping that I say everything correctly here. But there's a player named Alek Manoah, who's a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. And he received a $100,000 sponsorship from Dove Men Plus Care for defending his teammate, Alejandro Kirk. Alejandro Kirk was the target of a body-shaming tweet that went out. Here's the thing. It's not anyone's place to comment on anyone else's body. I don't care what that body looks like. Just keep your mouth shut, right? So what happened was a Montreal sports radio host called the catcher's name is Alejandro Kirk, an embarrassment to the sport, referring in particular to the shape of his body. Keep in mind that Alejandro Kirk is a catcher, so you kind of need to be a bigger person. And typically catchers, especially just because they're in squats all the time, their legs are rather large, right? Like they just have very muscular legs. And I don't think a baseball uniform is necessarily the most flattering to the upper body. So you wouldn't really know like how much muscle is underneath some of these guys. And he is a bigger guy for sure. He has a bigger body, absolutely. But he's not unathletic. And calling
and
him
he's
an
no like CC Sabathia, that pitcher for the Yankees who like had a gut and everybody and, like mentioned it like
all the time, right? Well, yeah. So again, this man is a catcher and he has caught every single one of his starts this entire year except for one.
Whoa.
He's clearly like
an athlete
and a healthy one at that. So first of all, you're a sports broadcaster. You're not playing the sport. So really, do you want to call someone out for being an embarrassment to the sport? You need to
shut
up.
And we all know what happened to Don Imus. Like, don't talk about people.
Just
stop.
Just shut up. Right. So this man, Alec Manoah, called out the sports broadcaster and said that he hoped that actually Kirk would inspire more interest and inclusivity in the sport because it's not reflective. You know, your body shape is not necessarily reflective of the level
your
of
athleticism.
Right. So when he got that scholarship, this is the part that made my heart happy. He donated the money to Kidsport, which is a Canadian nonprofit that gives kids the opportunity to play in organized sports. So like rec leagues and things like that.
How cool is that?
I love it. So not only did you defend your teammate and talk about how it's like not cool to body shame, you held up
when
your teammate.
When someone came to his aid,
right.
He said, here.
Right. And then he gives the money away. I really loved that. So it's a baseball heavy go sports section, but it's all like warm fuzzies. So I like it.
That's
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Fine.
I love it. All right. You got any obsessions right now as we shift
gears?
Yeah,
I'm obsessed with it in a bad way.
Okay.
I curse the name of Ian.
That's my cousin's name.
Sorry to your cousin.
Sorry, Ian. He's not listening. I don't think they're listening.
Well,
but
if he
I
is
do love
listening,
him.
Know that it has nothing to
it's
do with
it. It's not you,
him.
Right.
I'm supposed to be in Disney World right now. In this very moment.
Yeah.
I should be in Orlando.
You should be there. However, there is a massive hurricane that's impacting the lives of millions of people
right now. And that's it. So what I've done instead, because my trip is canceled and, you know, this has caused enough that I am getting a full refund because the parks are closed, the airport is closed, all of these things. I have decided that I am going to live into these people, a million people without power, people losing their homes. I've decided, you know what? I am really going to get after Ian. So I am going to do a drive to collect items. I am going to give funds. I am going to do everything I can against Ian from Texas. Because I am
love
mad.
It. I love that, though. If you're going to channel your anger into something, channeling it into helping people is a great way to go. Where are you planning to contribute funds? And how can we support you and that?
Well, I'm a big believer, and we've talked about this before, to give to boots on the ground, right? Like,
yes.
I really want to support organizations that are already doing some good work mm-hmm. and don't need a lot of infrastructure. So I'm a fan of the Red Cross because they're there.
Okay. That's where I'll put my money. I'll put a link there in our show notes, in our blog post, and you guys can support if you want. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, I'm sorry that you're mad. I'm more sorry for people who are experiencing all of the destruction.
Right.
But
and
also,
that's exactly it.
Right. Like, if you're
so
going to be frustrated.
I'm going to focus on, you know what? What am I losing? Oh, a vacation this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We got a full refund. We can book it for another weekend. We're going to go back.
Right.
So I am going to make sure that this is not the worst thing. And I'm going to focus on how can I help someone who's dealing with so much more than I didn't get to go to Disney World.
Right. That's a really good way to do that.
So what are you obsessed with? Hopefully something for a good reason, eh?
We haven't watched a ton of it yet, but what I have seen so far, I really, really, really like. And it's the show Welcome to Wrexham. Have you heard of this show?
No, I have not.
Okay, so think like Ted Lasso meets Hard Knocks. Okay, so if you're not a sports watcher, Ted Lasso is the show with Jason Sudeikis about soccer that's on Apple TV. And Hard Knocks is the show that's on HBO that features a football team as they're in training camp. And that show always kills me because it's always a team I don't really like. And then I end up attached to that team for the season because you get to see like,
right,
you get to see how great. Yeah, you get to hear the backstory. And it's really nice. So then this year's was Detroit. And I'm definitely not a Detroit fan, but I really like their coach. So anyway, it is Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney from, so Ryan Reynolds of Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds and Green Lantern and
Yeah. Like that Ryan Reynolds.
That Ryan Reynolds and like Jin, right? Like that's the other thing that he does. So that guy. And then Rob McElhenney is one of the guys from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So Caitlin Olsen's husband. So they purchased a Welsh football club called Welsh Wrexham. And it's this show that's it's like a documentary of their lives as they go about purchasing, like getting it approved. And this football club that is incredibly poorly ranked. Like if you know of soccer rankings, there's, you know, Championship League and Premier League, and there's all these different leagues. And if you play poorly, you get demoted out of the top tiers into lower
tiers.
We've
talked about this before.
Yeah, they're like so low that they're like practically high school athletes. It's pretty low. And so, you know, they tried the first couple of episodes are, you know, we want to acquire the team. And then when they do, they're watching them play and they're like, oh, we got to do some restructuring. And it's like, you know, that people are going to get fired and people are going to get cut from the team. And it's hard to watch sometimes, but the show is really, really interesting. And it's, you know, featuring the town, in Wales, the Wrexham people are in it. So, it's a great show and I would highly recommend it. So yeah, I'll put a link to it in the notes and you guys can find it.
I'm excited. Let me tell you about my gems of the week.
Oh,
and
Lord.
Yes, there's an S because I'm telling two stories. And you know what? It's fine. It's my show. I'll do it.
Your show.
That's what I'm saying. CK and GK.
Right.
Your show, my show.
Right. Co-owners of the show.
You're yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Let's hear it. Let's do it.
All right. So the first one, I need to tell you, shout out to Pint House Pizza and Brewing. They're turning 10 this year. So exciting. I'm excited to go to their party.
Are they looking to sponsor podcasts?
Right? This is an Austin-based business.
Mm-hmm.
It started as one place, a pizza restaurant that also makes beer and then serves craft beer from other breweries around the nation.
Right.
Okay. And so their flagship location has been there for 10 years. They since now have 4 locations around the city of Austin. There's one on Burnett. There's one on, South Lamar, right near Central Market.
Yeah.
And Straight Music.
Yeah.
There's one up in Round Rock on 35.
Oh, that's
and
one,
then
that's one
there's
I didn't
the
know about.
Pint House Brewing location, which is on 71.
Yeah, it's just out by Bastrop. Yeah.
Yeah. Not that far, though.
Okay.
It's not as far as the airport, even.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay.
But, like, we love Pint House and my family. Like, it's our go-to for pizza. And they were our first post-pandemic restaurant because they took safety so seriously that when we were ready to go and be somewhere in person, we knew that they were going to be a safe spot for us. So Pint House is a big part of our family. The reason I am bringing this up is because Kit was watching SpongeBob. And I don't know if you know the SpongeBob theme song.
I think.
But it starts with the captain.
Yeah.
Are you ready, kid?
Yeah.
Aye, aye, captain. I can't hear you. Who lives in a pint house under the sea?
Oh, that's my God. Sang it. No way. Who yes. lives in a pint house under the sea? Oh, that's how you know your kid spends a lot of time, like, in craft beer locations, right?
Right. When he also thought the alphabet was ABW, which stands for Austin Beer Works.
Don't worry. He's not consuming. He's just visiting.
No, he's just visiting. And he loves to go to, quote, a beer place because what are breweries now but parks with beer?
Exactly.
So kids can play and run around. He loves going. And Johnny and I can sit there and have a cold one while the kids play.
I love it. That's so funny.
I didn't correct him.
ABW.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. I love it. Okay, what else you got for me?
So my other story is my school, I've told you this before, we go to the park every day for an hour for lunch. And it is amazing. And one of the things that is really cool about the culture of the school is the teachers eat with kids, right? Like we are spread out around the park to make sure that it's safe. So the adults don't like sit at the grown-up table. We're all over.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so I'm eating with a bunch of fourth grade girls.
Oh my.
And they're talking about their summer camp experience. And I said, oh my goodness, you know, my dream job is to own my own summer camp. And I said, my summer camp name will be Kelp. And there'll be a special song that everyone sings when I come into the dining hall. And she says, oh, we could call you Miss G Kelp right now.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And so for the rest of the day, she started calling me Miss G Kelp. Which was hilarious. I'm laughing. The kids are laughing. The next day, she says, you know, I thought about it. Kelp is a type of seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
So we could also call you Miss G-weed.
Oh, no. No, no, no. No, you cannot. Someone's going to get fired.
I just laughed and said, that's good. I think I like Miss G Kelp better, but Miss G Weed is funny.
Yeah, I like Miss G Kelp. It goes better with my name. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the reason. It goes better with my name. I don't want to be called Miss G Weed.
Miss G Weed.
Speaking of G Weed, hey, Coolio died last night. Oh. Oh, man. As my friend Joanna said, he finally made it to Gangster's Paradise. So, it's not funny. Someone died.
Oh, come on. It is. I'm not laughing at his death.
No, she's laughing at the joke. Good job, Joey. I'm glad you said that. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for fall. Like, it is officially fall now. However.
Oh, it, no.
It doesn't
feel
like it.
It's
that
weird upside down weather. When it's 50 degrees in the morning and 95 at night.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like fall in Texas yet. We're waiting. We're getting closer, but it's not quite there yet. So naturally, as you do the things to get fall going. Now, my son loves Halloween. Loves, loves, loves. Like, is wanting to watch, like, Pumpkin Wars and all that stuff or Halloween Wars or whatever it is, because you get to like see all the spooky like cakes and stuff being made, and he just really gets into to that part of it. But he also wants to watch Halloween movies, except Hocus Pocus. He says he doesn't like Hocus Pocus, but he's just not old enough to get it yet, so we'll get him there, I promise. But of course, because it's fall-ish now, people are starting to shift the things that are on TV. And one of the things that is showing up on TV again is Home Alone. And my son and husband have already watched Home Alone 2 twice.
That's hilarious.
And my son was like, wait, why are we watching this? It's not Christmas. It's Halloween. And in fairness, it's a good movie to watch anytime because it's always entertaining. But my husband was like, because I like it. Like, why, you know, there's no other reason needed, right? I'm watching them watch this movie. And again, this is a family favorite. We love it. It's always on. I think we probably are going to watch it like another 20 times just this year. We love it. And my favorite one is Home Alone 2 when he's in New York. Like, I prefer that one personally.
When he's lost in New York?
He's lost in New York. Yes, that's true. He isn't lost when he's at the Plaza, though. So
I'm just saying, that's the subtitle. That is the
title.
Movie.
Yeah, it is the title. So I am watching them enjoy this part, and the favorite part for both the boys in my house is the part where he gets chased to the brownstone that is being remodeled. And if you would ever like to see two boys cackling like hyenas over ridiculousness slapstick comedy, you can come watch Marv and Harry like dodge and get hit in the face with bricks in their faces, because both Sam and Bryce are cackling with laughter, howling. And then, you know, as you do every year, there's always some article that's like, you know, how much it would cost for the hospital bills.
Oh, right.
For the two of them. Or like,
how many times did he die?
Right. What would be the part where he dies? So now the thing that they're doing is every time something would kill them, you just hear, "Dad! Dad! Dad!" And it's hysterical. Like, you'll hear a brick and it's like, boom, 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 crash. And then you just hear, "Dad!" And it's so hysterical. Like, you see Marv get lit up with electricity, "Dead," and then they just are howling together, and it's one of my favorite things, and I hope it never stops. But it's September,
right?
and we have a lot more of fall first before we get to the holiday season, and it's just hysterical that it's already starting. So
that is funny.
We're watching Home Alone 2 at our house.
Well, speaking of Halloween, we have a nightmare in our hands.
That was good. That was a good segue. Good job.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all know CK and GK love to support fellow indie podcasts. So here's another show you might really love.
Hey, I'm Courtney.
And I'm Amanda.
And this is A Nefarious Nightmare.
We cover true crime and the paranormal. We raise awareness about the senseless acts committed against victims. We won't go easy on the offenders, but show serious empathy to the victims.
And sometimes we dive into some weird topics outside of true crime, like the paranormal or even conspiracy theories.
Our listeners are definitely the best, and we are their biggest fans.
So join us. Come on in. All are welcome. Let's dive into these cases. You can find us on any podcast platform and on YouTube. Be sure to find us, hit subscribe, and share us with your friends.
We do have great life advice, such as don't be a Richard.
Yes, and wear deodorant. We don't want to smell you.
But all are welcome to A Nefarious Nightmare. Thanks for listening to our friends. Back to the show.
Okay, so now we're back. All right, so as Jenny
back
mentioned
to you
earlier,
in the studio, Todd.
Exactly. As Jenny mentioned earlier, she was supposed to be traveling this weekend.
Womp womp.
Yeah, too bad. Again, all of our love and extra funds are going to go to the people of Florida right now. But fall travel season is here, and there are fall breaks coming. Some people get a full week for fall break. Some people get long weekends right around the corner with like Indigenous Peoples Day, Columbus Day, etc. So Jenny and I thought we would give some advice for traveling with kids, because traveling by yourself is already hard enough, and then you add to it a small person who depends on you for their life, and it gets a little bit more complicated.
Okay, so I'm going to start with some advice from a pediatrician in 1991 when we were flying from South Carolina to Tokyo.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare flight.
Ugh. Yeah, because it wasn't just one, right? That's several legs of travel.
Mm-hmm.
And the pediatrician looked at my mom and said, I want you to take the normal dose of Dimetapp and double it for all three of your kids.
Oh, man.
And if that doesn't work, you take the rest.
Yes. I mean, because you definitely want to sedate yourself. Oh, my gosh. But also 1991, this is a different time.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of a different time, still in the early 90s.
Okay.
We have already moved to Japan at this point. And I tell you this story because I believe in downward social comparison.
Right? Okay.
Like, I don't like the at least coming at me. I don't want someone to say, well, you know, at least your hair isn't falling out. Well, no, I don't like the haircut. I'm just not happy with the cut. Don't tell me at least it's not falling out. But here, this is an at least for yourself.
Okay.
And as awful as your travel goes, at least you are not my parents. Okay?
Oh, no.
Hold this in your heart so that one day when it's bad, you may make the comparison yourself. You don't have someone else doing it.
Okay.
In the early 90s, after we had already made this flight to Japan, we are living in Japan. And one summer, my parents wanted to come back to the States and visit their families. My dad is originally from Baltimore, and most of his family was still there at that time. And my mom's parents were living in Melbourne, Florida, which is very close to Cocoa Beach and Cape Canaveral.
Oh, okay.
Kennedy Space Center. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so somehow the airlines offered a voucher program, and they bought 15 legs of travel within the U.S., and they were allowed to use it on any plane going anywhere.
Whoa.
With, of course, plenty of restrictions. But they thought it was any plane going anywhere within the U.S.
Okay.
And so they said, okay, well, we need to get from Yokota, Japan, which is the Air Force base, to the East Coast of the United States.
Okay.
And so they bought these 15 legs of travel. Now, remember, there are five of us, so that really only equals out to three flights.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay. I'm following.
And because we cannot use these travel coupons outside the U.S., we take a HOP, or military Space A flight, to Elmendorf, Alaska, which is in Anchorage.
Okay.
Which gets us to the U.S., right?
Okay. Yeah. You're set.
So we're good. Now, their plan is to fly from Anchorage to San Francisco. While we were in San Francisco, my dad would then drive to Travis Air Force Base and sign us up for a Space A military hop back to Yokota at the end of this adventure.
Okay.
At this time, pre-internet, you had to sign up in person at the Air Force Base that you wanted to leave from.
No.
Well, guess what? These coupons, these vouchers for 15 legs of travel, didn't work to get from Anchorage to San Francisco that day.
Oh.
Instead, we were able to get to Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
So, and this was, this is a crystal clear memory for me. I was probably 8 or 9 years old, but I remember the look and feel of desperation on my dad's face.
Oh.
And this is like the first time that I remember my parents like really seeing a struggle, right? Like,
yeah.
I remember my dad leaning on the counter and saying, really? Pittsburgh's the best you can do?
Oh my gosh.
So we get to Pittsburgh, we rent a car, we drive to Baltimore. We have a visit in Baltimore. Then we fly from Baltimore to Orlando and drive to Melbourne to see my grandparents. Well, as soon as we get to Melbourne, my dad turns around, he drives back to Orlando, he then gets on a plane to fly to San Francisco, to rent a car, to drive to Travis, to sign us up for a flight to fly back to Japan, drives from Travis Air Force Base back to the SFO, gets on a plane in San Francisco, flies to Orlando, and drives back to Melbourne in a day.
I would rather stick this pen in my eye and swirl it around for a little while than do what that
I entails. Looked at my parents as they are telling me this story this week and like really outlining for me, because of course, like, I'm talking about my anxiety with flying with two children to Disney World because John is going to meet us there from New York, and my parents were like, no, Okay, you want to talk about flying with kids? Right. Let me tell you this story. We didn't know if we were going to be able to get back to Japan.
Oh, my gosh. No.
So.
Thank you, please. You see this pen dangerously close to my eye.
Right.
Like, I'm already, my gosh. Oh, awful. Okay.
So, I am going to just kind of highlight some ideas for traveling with children on a plane. Mm-hmm. Okay. First thing I'm going to tell you is the same thing I tell everyone. You need to get insurance. Okay. Get travel insurance. It just makes such a difference. If something happens, kids are sick, whatever, you know that you're covered. So if that's something that you can afford to do, get the travel insurance. Again, if you can afford to do it, book a direct or a nonstop flight, right? Mm-hmm. Book your seats together. Do not rely on the kindness of strangers. It's not reasonable to expect that people will give up their seat so you can sit together.
Yeah.
If you are flying on an airline like Southwest, that's pick your own seat, do that check-in as soon as you can.
Yeah.
And if they offer,
have it done for you.
Right. If they offer for boarding early, board early.
Mm-hmm.
Read so many posts and stories of families who bought 4 tickets but ended up with 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not reasonable to expect that another passenger is going to trade seats with you so that you can sit together as a family.
Yeah.
As much as I would love to say that the goodness and kindness of everyone's heart is to do that, but you don't know their story. They might be flying home from, you know, their parents' funeral and be heartbroken, and the last thing they want to do is give up their window seat because they thought they were going to lean up against the wall and sleep.
Yeah.
Book your seats together if you can.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
All right. Mark your luggage so it's easy to spot, because when you get off the plane after this adventure, don't hang out at baggage claim trying to figure out which one is yours. Mark them.
Yeah, like some kind of weird strap, or like I tied like a really jacked up, like haphazard ribbon on one of them at one point, and I was like, no one else is going to do this. Yeah, do something.
I put a monogram sticker on mine.
You're so extra.
Look, I have a friend with a Cricut. I said, hey, can you print off a monogram so I can slap it on my luggage?
Oh, I was like,
yes.
I was like, did you buy it from Etsy?
No. No.
Custom made? Okay.
And it's like, it's fancy and it's cute and I love it. But really, it was like $3 to have my friend make this sticker.
Yeah, no. Okay, that's worth it.
And
that's fine.
I see my luggage when it comes off the rack. Okay.
That's true.
Now, speaking of luggage,
mm-hmm.
pack light for the plane. Check as much stuff as you can.
I'm going to add something to this. You finish. Go say what you're going to say. But I'm going to add something.
Well, I was going to say, this is another one that comes down to cost, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're flying on Southwest and it's 2 bags free and you're bringing 2 kids with you, you bet both those kids are checking 2 bags.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. They might be none of their stuff in those bags, but check them mm-hmm. so that your hands are free to wrangle your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also going to say, though, here's with the carry-on thing, pack like a just like a Ziploc bag, like a gallon Ziploc bag of everyone's outfit in their carry-on, like a spare outfit for every kid.
Yes, absolutely.
In the event that your bag gets lost, then you have at least one other outfit that is, you know, complete with socks, shirt, undergarments, all the things. And then you have that. So that would probably be the only thing that I would say. If you have to go super light on your bag, just don't forget to do that.
And I do that for myself, even when I'm traveling alone. Mm-hmm. I always make sure that I have one other outfit that is kind of universal,
mm-hmm.
like maybe a black linen dress or something that I could wear anywhere
mm-hmm.
in case my bag doesn't make it. Mm-hmm. The other thing in case your bag doesn't make it is meds. Don't ever check your meds.
Yeah, put them in your carry-on.
All right. Now, assuming that your kids are either potty trained or walking,
mm-hmm.
you want to do bathroom and as much activity at the airport before you get on the flight as possible.
Did you see the guy at DIA who was walking his toddler on the moving walkway, but he was walking him backwards?
Walking him backwards, yes.
And I knew it was
like
DIA.
A treadmill?
Yeah, exactly. It was like, when you have a toddler and you're about to get on a flight, like, it made me laugh so hard. I'm like, that's definitely like Terminal B at DIA.
That's hilarious, yeah.
Awesome.
Play the I Spy, play the scavenger hunt, mm-hmm. do a progressive dinner and say there's 5 different restaurants in the airport and we're going to go to each one and try something different.
Let's taste Maybe test all of drinks. The fries. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I'm into it. That's a good idea.
If the kids are older and you happen to be in an international airport, go to the duty-free shop and yes. play supermarket sweep. Who can find the most expensive item? Who can find the funniest item, the weirdest thing, the most fake item, right? Oh, like, here's a sweatshirt that says, "Welcome to Austin," but it's clearly, like, just screen printed on there. It's not Austin at all.
Yeah, okay, I like it.
So, assuming that you've gotten some of their energy out, get on the plane and sit where you should.
Yeah.
Not where you want.
Yeah.
If your tickets aren't right, if you didn't get the seats together, whatever it is, sit where you should. If you are traveling with children, don't sit in the exit row. The first thing the flight attendant is going to tell you is you're not 16. You can't sit in the exit row.
Right.
Read the expectations for lap children. The flight attendants do have to come and have a talk with you about how to do your lap kids. But go into the experience with the knowledge that you're not surprised by any of the expectations. Y'all, I know that we have told you this over and over and over again in all different ways, but do your homework, right? Don't go in blind.
Yeah, I have to say the lap thing, you think that it's going to be a great situation. If you can afford to buy the other seat and put the car seat in the seat, I would highly recommend doing that. So that you have your hands free during the flight. It's not easy to have a kid on your lap the whole time. I flew with my son when he was little a lot, and that's a pretty difficult thing. Now, that said, the seats are very close together these days, and your car seat might not fit. So you might have to do the lap kid thing. And if you're flying with a baby, if it's a baby, like a little one that you can put in a pack on you, wear your baby. Wear the baby. Because it's good for both of you. You are going to have your hands free. You can comfort the baby as soon as possible. But just know when you get in that seat on the plane, they're going to come tell you that you can't wear the baby while the plane is taking off and landing. You're going to have to take the baby out of the baby carrier, put the baby on your lap, hold it appropriately, and then you can put it back in the baby carrier once the plane is up in the air. So just keep that in mind.
Bring new entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Novel is the name of the game. I'm talking 3 to 4 new toys per hour. Now, these might be 3 to 4 new Hot Wheels. They right. might be 3 to 4 new pages in a coloring book. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about we're buying, you know, $20, $30, $40 toys here.
Ooh, no.
But you got to have new stuff. And yeah. I'm sorry, but we ain't counting calories on this plane.
No.
Stuff the kids full of food.
This is good for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, we all know that snacks make everyone happy, including mommy. So there's that. But also, I would highly recommend including a lollipop in there for older kids because of ear issues on planes. And my mom, when I was a kid, always made me chew gum. But some kids, like my own child, if I give him a lollipop, he bites it like pretty quickly. He you know, the patience just isn't there. I don't trust him with gum just yet. So, lollipops would be good for that. And if they're not good with lollipops, snacks are going to help them keep swallowing.
With the ear pressure.
Yeah. So it'll help them with the ear pressure. So snacks are really intentional here.
It's almost as if you read my mind.
Yeah.
Or the show notes.
I swear I didn't read the show notes.
Because that was the next thing I was going to say is yeah. lollipops are great for takeoff and landing. Mm-hmm. And if your kids are old enough, talk to them about the ear pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know what to expect and say, your ears might hurt a little bit. They might pop. Teach them the Valsalva maneuver where they hold their nose and pop their ears.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I hear Daniel Tiger in my head, when we do something new, mm-hmm. let's talk about what we'll do. I mean, mm-hmm. tell them what to expect. Okay. Also, when you are packing, one of the things you should not bring by any means, you must leave your pride at home.
Oh, I was like, what item?
Okay. your babies or toddlers are gonna cry, and that's okay.
Yeah, they're right? People. They're people, people and they're little
people.
People
are gonna judge, and you're gonna get judgment from others, especially those who do not have young children. It might be parents who have older children and are like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, my baby never cried on a plane.
Yes, they did.
Or it might be people who have not had children, or it might be people whose children are old enough to have children of their own. It doesn't matter. As long as you're trying, you're golden.
Right.
I'm doing the best I can. And that's right. All we can ask of you.
Right.
Babies cry on planes. Toddlers get restless. Leave the pride at home. Don't worry about it. It's normal.
Yeah.
If you can nurse or feed during takeoff and landing, go for it. Mm-hmm. And unless Benny Benadryl is coming on the trip, don't expect that your kids are going to sleep on the plane.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I've tried. I mean, when Sam was a little baby, we would expect nurse and then sleep, right?
Right.
It never happened. I would nurse during takeoff. Nothing. He would not sleep. So it was not.
But that's like instincts, Caitlin. Yeah. Think about it. This baby is nervous about what's going on. This is a weird environment. Yeah. His body feels weird. There's people around him he doesn't know. There's weird sounds, weird smells. Like, this
Mommy's probably a little stressed, right? Like, it's not an easy situation.
He can't sleep because he needs to stay awake to survive.
Right. Totally. Totally get it.
All right. So I'm passing the baton to you. Because now that we've got off the plane, we still have to drive to get to our destination.
The driving part is, some people think it's going to be easier. It's not necessarily easier, right? And now I have only done short road trips with my child. We're talking like an hour to like 5 hours max. So I really am coming from that place. So I did get a little bit of help from a couple of websites, which I'll make sure to link in the blog post for this show notes page. But
wait. You've never driven to Nashville for a day trip?
No, I'm good. The longest road trip I've ever taken was when I drove from Austin to my family in Denver, and it is a 14-hour drive that I did in one day. I did it by myself, and 11 of those hours were in Texas. I spent an hour in New Mexico and then 2 hours in Colorado, but the rest of it was all in Texas. And if that doesn't tell you how big this state is, then I don't know what will. So
in 2017, when the total eclipse happened, we drove to Nashville to see it, but we didn't get a hotel.
So we drove
14 hours
yes.
to Nashville, stayed in town for about 6 to watch the eclipse, then turn around and drove back.
I remember this.
With
I remember when you did that. I remember when you did that. Oh my gosh, I can't. I didn't. I had forgotten that part of it, but wow.
So dumb.
I think you like came to work pretty quickly after that.
I did.
And you were
wiped
out. We
arrived with 30 minutes, enough time for me to shower and come to work.
Yep. You did, because it was over a weekend or something, or it was like
the eclipse happened on Monday.
Yeah, and you were back at work.
We drove Sunday, went to the eclipse on Monday. Drove Monday night to arrive at school on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, you were back on Tuesday morning.
Stupid!
Oh. Yeah, not the best decision you've made, but I know why you did it, so it's okay. So I'm just going to say, I hope you left early when you did that trip.
It was super late, but same idea, yes.
Oh, okay. So the reason that I'm saying leave early, or I guess super late, is that you want your kids to be sleepy. Mm-hmm. So the sleepier they are, the better for you. One, because obviously you don't have to, you know, deal with nightmarish behavior during that time. But also it helps them when they wake up and they're like, oh, we're that much closer. Like it just shortens the duration of them feeling bored.
It's very psychological.
Exactly, in the car. Stay organized with what you're packing as much as possible. Keep things that you're going to need either in the cabin of the car with you, or make little stashes of things that you can put in front of you and around easily accessible. So things like suction cup shower caddies that you can stick onto windows to have kids have an extra storage space.
That's
is a really good idea. If you have an over the door shoe organizer, you can just get them from the dollar store and kind of cut them in half and have one part go over one
seat and one go over another, and the kids can store their stuff in there. Or you can go a little bit more hardcore, and there's some good ones on, you know, various websites. And I'll link one that I have in my car that is helpful for staying organized with things like that.
Oh my gosh. You know what we did with one of those shoe organizers? I'm so proud. We hung it over our pantry door, and we use it for our to-go coffee cups and water bottles.
That's smart. When we had a bigger pantry than we do now, when it was like a full closet door, I used it to put spices in.
Oh, that's clever too.
And now I use one on the back of my laundry room door, and that's where I put cleaning supplies.
Very smart. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Continue on.
Yeah, you could just cut one of those up and put them in the car and on the seat in front of your child. Again, you're going to need to bring entertainment. And I recommend varying this up a little bit. So we're talking visual and audio. If your child can handle motion sickness issues, if they can watch movies, I would highly recommend. If they can't, audiobooks are a good alternative, songs or playlists that they really like. If they can play video games because they don't get motion sickness, that's another good option. Bring some non-tech ones too, because everyone's eyes get tired, even kids who are addicted to screens like my own. So drawing materials, you can make little Lego sets that would be good for fitting in the car. You can just put them in a little tiny box and have them use those. Things like a travel desk. You can go to a craft store and get like an over the lap desk.
Really
inexpensive. Some of them have like a cup holder and everything. So
A little pocket that lifts up and you can put materials inside.
Exactly. That's a really good thing to have. We bring that every time we go on a road trip with my son, and it works really, really well for him. And I would consider also, as a backup for when they're bored with entertaining themselves, bring some family games. There's some really good ones. Like, you can just play inexpensive license plate game, Mad Libs, I Spy, Scavenger Hunt. They have like kits for the road that you can do, or you can just make it up, right?
On your way. You can play My Cow.
What's My Cow? Tell everyone how to play.
Okay. So as you're driving, if you see a herd of cows, the first person to call, "That's my cow," gets that herd. Now, every herd counts as one cow. Okay? So, and we, like...
What if there's, like, a horses, loner that's, like, off in the
side? That can be one.
Okay.
If it's divided up by fence...
Okay.
Right? That's how we play. If there's a fence, then it counts as a herd.
Okay.
So, you can count your cows. We collect horses, tractors, barns. Like, we get kind of ridiculous with it. But... if you drive past a cemetery, the first person to say all your cows are dead kills off all the other people's cows.
See, this is a fun game. I like it. That's a good one. Okay, so I would highly recommend family games like that just to keep everyone sort of sharp. So the other thing is, if you have multiple children, you might poo-poo this idea, and that's okay. But sometimes kids can entertain each other. So if you have rear-facing kiddos, put them in the middle row. And then have your kids who are front-facing face them, and then they can talk to each other and entertain each other. And you can also do it so that big kids can sit close to grown-ups, and then they can be the ones who help out when needed. They can be the ones who pass food around, snacks, stuff like that. All right, so there's a lot of things that you can do to entertain your kids. Tons of great websites. So I linked a couple that you'll be able to find in the blog post for this week. I just mentioned snacks.
I did as well.
Oh, you did? Yes.
I've got a couple of links, like 10 things to do on planes, 13 different things to do at the airport. Some of them I do not endorse.
Yeah, me too.
But it's a fun article to read, and you can decide what's right for your family.
Right. The reason that I have these linked is because there's at least a few where I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Right.
That's me too.
So, yeah. And some people are just more extra than I am. That's just all there is to it. So I mentioned snacks and big kids helping. You need to plan ahead with snacks. It's the same thing as being on a plane. And FYI, on a plane, you can bring snacks for kids, even if they are liquid snacks, like an applesauce packet or whatever. You just have to show them to TSA. Like, they'll scan them, and it's all fine. In a car, it doesn't matter. You just need to have as many snacks as possible. I highly recommend, like, a bento box, or I've seen tackle boxes for the people who are using for snacks. I thought it was a really smart idea. Or like those craft, like, thread boxes that you can use. I call it, at our house, we call it Big Snack. And we'll put a bunch of, like, little different snacks and foods into an ice cube tray that has a lid. So we do big snack. It's like a baby charcuterie board. It's
really, yeah, we just call it a baby shark board.
Baby shark.
I don't think my children know that shark stands for charcuterie.
No, they don't.
It's just baby shark board.
Right. Well, we don't call it a charcuterie board for him either. We just call it big snack. But like, we'll put like a nugget in one and like ketchup in another. You know what I mean? You just kind of mix it up. But obviously for a road trip, please don't put nuggets and loose ketchup in a baby shark board. Okay. And I would recommend things that like anything that you could do to vary it up a little bit so that it's kind of entertaining to have them pick out their snacks is going to be helpful. You're also going to need to do some planning here. Again, do your homework. You want to schedule your stops for gas and bathrooms and include at least one stop where everyone can move around for a little while for 20 to 30 minutes. My recommendation, just based on what I've experienced, is about one fun stop for every 4 hours of driving in the car. Otherwise, it's kind of a lot for everyone. 4 hours is probably the max.
And if you're looking for the largest Bowie knife, it's in Bowie, Texas. Your whole family can enjoy this. It's like 20 feet long.
I mean, if you want to find all those weird things, there's a great website called Road Trippers, and I have it here in the notes. And you can plan out all these kinds of stops and find weird stuff that you're going to be around and have everyone check it out.
If nothing else, you are giving your kids fodder for therapy.
Right, exactly. Right? That's what road trips are for.
They can be in their 30s and say, right, they made me take pictures in front of the largest peanut. World's largest pecan.
Seguin, ball of Texas. Twine. Right, exactly. Seguin. Oh, goodness. Okay. Another thing you can do to help with your children being bored is you can actually help them track the progress. So we all know how satisfying it is to watch the little dots on your phones as you travel, right, along your route. Well, they can't see that, and you're not going to hand them your phone the whole time. So you can do a couple of things. I have seen people print out maps, and then you put the map somewhere where your kid can see. And then as you get to a certain spot on the map, you put a little star sticker or something like that so they can see the progress that's happening. That's one way to do it. The other thing you could do, which is another option that I particularly like, is if you're planning a four-hour trip, make four little goodie bags, tiny, inexpensive things, maybe a special snack, maybe a Hot Wheels car, maybe a new crayon box, whatever it is, put something in a goodie bag, and every hour or every 50 miles or every, I don't know, gas station, you give the kids one of the goodie bags. They get to choose whichever one they want, and then that's how they're marking the progress. So then they know, okay, I have 4 hours, four goodie bags. When I get the last one, maybe that's something that they're going to use at the destination or whatever it is. So, you know, if you're making a trip to the beach, maybe the last one is a pair of flippers, whatever it needs to be. So that's another option. The other thing I'm going to say is create as much opportunity for your kids to serve themselves with whatever they need as possible. So you're going to want a self-service station that's in their backpack so they can choose the activity they're going to do. They can choose the snack they're going to have. You want to be as like hands off as possible to let them entertain as much as you can. Because you're going to need your patience when they decide that they can't handle it anymore. I also will say plan for naps. I know we said kids don't sleep when they're traveling. Sometimes
it's the car is better
different,
than the plane.
Right. The car is just different. So I would say plan for naps, even if your kids don't nap anymore. So bring a pillow and have it available in the car. Bring a blanket, have it available in the car. Bring the favorite lovey, if there is one, have it available in the car. They might just surprise you and take a nap. Who knows?
They might also sleep out of boredom.
That's what I do.
Okay. If you are trying to get your kiddos, especially those who might be past the nap stage, they might be 4 or 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15. If you turn off all the devices,
yeah,
you put the radio on mom and dad's music, yeah, and you say, you know what, it's just quiet time, we're not going to engage right now. Mm-hmm. It is possible that the kids might just fall asleep because they're so stinking bored.
Yeah. So just FYI, right? Like, just do it in case, and you'll feel better about it. So, I would say also probably the most important one is plan like a just in case sort of stuff. Make a kit for yourself. Put it in a plastic bin that is clear so that you can see exactly what's in it and you can access it quickly. So this, we're talking about spare clothes, plastic bags, a towel or two, some head to toe cleansing wipes, plastic gloves for anyone who needs them, and maybe some Dramamine for people who get car sick. So spare clothes. I think my mom could probably tell you a story about when she took me up to Yosemite one time when I was little. You need spare clothes in the car. You don't know who's going to get car sick.
We did one trip where Kit threw up 3 times. Oh, we were out of extra clothes.
Yeah.
We had him stripped down to just underwear.
Yeah.
And on the way home, John said, "You want to stop for a beer?"
Oh my God.
And I was
God.
Like, yeah, we both
yeah,
earned
you
it.
Need, yeah,
so
you
we
need
brought
it.
Our naked toddler to this brewery and just let him run around in his underwear and said, "We don't even care how trashy yeah, this no, is. Don't. We have cleaned up vomit 3 times on this trip."
You needed that beer. You really, really did. But a car sickness kit is going to be really helpful. I will also say a plastic cereal bin that's lined with a plastic bag is a good trash can, and it could be a good vom catcher too if you need it.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's just, and it doesn't need to be an expensive one. Just go to the dollar store and get something that has a lid, and you can just put a plastic bag in there. Yeah. Put baking soda and cornstarch in this car sickness kit that you have, because it can help dry up and neutralize the smell once you like scrape it all out of your car.
Oh.
You need to have something that's cornstarch or baking soda is probably the best ones. There's also ones that have like, you know, they are advertised as being something fancy for that sort of purpose. You don't need it. Just get some baking soda and put it in there. That way you can, once you sprinkle it on, you leave it on there for a little while, and then like maybe the next gas station after the one that you stop at to clean up, but the next one, you can just vacuum it out, and it should help a lot with the smell. I would also in that put maybe some, if you're an essential oil user, put some essential oils in there, like a strong one, like peppermint maybe. Peppermint can also help with nausea
your
sometimes. Yeah, and maybe some VapoRub, because you can put, if the car stinks, you can put that on your lip and it will block the smell. Just
Isn't
saying.
Isn't that what like the medical examiner does before they do an autopsy?
Yeah. Yeah. You just put something strong on your lip so that you don't have to smell it, because it's going to be in the car. But if you have it there for everyone, you know, that's good. But, or you could do the essential oil thing, whichever one you want. I would say you need to put some car supplies in your emergency kit. Things like jumper cables, fix a flat, trash bags. Also, if you haven't already thought about it, go get your car looked at a few days before you go. Have them check tires, have them check heating and cooling, oil change, all those things that you need in order to be prepared so your car is in the best shape possible. And I would also suggest pack a one-night bag. So this is like a set of PJs and one complete outfit, and put it in like a gallon baggie, kind of like what I said to do with your checked bag. And that way, if you have to stop overnight at like a hotel or whatever while you're making your road trip, you can just take in this one bag with your toiletries, and you don't have to unpack every single thing that's in the car if you don't want to do that. Some people want to because they don't really want to leave all those things in their car overnight at a hotel, and I would understand that. But if you feel okay about doing that, you know where you're going, or you know you're going to have covered parking or whatever, sometimes a one-night bag where you just bring that in and not everything else can be really, really helpful. So
that is helpful.
Yeah.
One more thing I would say, and this is because I'm Gen X, a paper map. If you're going somewhere where you know you're going, no worries. But I took Abigail camping in the Davis Mountains a few summers ago, and getting to our campsite, we went through several parts of the state where there was no service at all.
Very true.
And while I knew in my mind where we were going because I had read the directions and I had seen them on my phone, it was very calming to my anxiety that I had a paper map. so that if something did happen, or if, you know, I thought I had made a wrong turn, I knew that there was a backup for all those times when I had zero service and my phone could not find me.
If you are someone who cannot handle a paper map for whatever reason, maybe you can't read it and you're spatially challenged or whatever it might be, if you are on your phone and you load the area that you're going to be in where you know there's no service, if you load that part of the map onto your phone, you can use it in offline mode. So there is a way to do that. Yeah. Like, let's say you load it when you're on Wi-Fi and then you disconnect it because you're roaming or whatever it might be. You can actually turn that map feature on so that you can still use the GPS and it will still follow you. But what the issue is, the no service issue is because you can't load the map when there's no service. So if you load it ahead of time, you can use it. And I've learned that in international travels. So that is a thing you can do. But those are my tips for being in the car. There are tons of websites that Jenny and I are providing to help you actually, you know, manifest all of these things, manifest the good vibes for your trip and do your homework ahead of time and all those things. So we're providing those to you. Check out the blog post for this episode to see all the details there.
Yeah. And remember, it's a trip. It's not a vacation.
Right. It's not going to be relaxing. It's a trip. You're making memories.
You might be on vacation once you get there, but you got to take a trip to get there.
Right.
I have some exciting news for us.
Oh, you do?
This is our 40th episode.
Oh, it is our 40th episode.
And it is happening right around the anniversary of a very, very famous speech from a coach at Oklahoma State University talking about some trashy journalism.
I'm here for this. I know exactly where you're going. Do it.
So come write about me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I have put the link to this fabulous press conference in our show notes.
So funny. He's defending a kid, to be fair.
Yes.
He's defending a child, right? He's
defending one of his players who is a good kid but dropped a couple passes and a journalist went after the kid. And he is saying, why don't you write about these other athletes who are misbehaving and write about their misbehavior? But because they're performing on the field, you write nice things about them.
Right.
Don't go after my nice boys.
Right.
Whether they, you know, have they're college level athletes, they're not professionals, and they're behaving well. You want to write about somebody, you write about me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm 40. Oh my gosh. I remember when that happened and I remember thinking like, oh man, when am I going to be 40? And here I am banging down the door. Yep. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, 40th episode, traveling with kids. You can do it. Just humility is your friend. Humility is your friend.
Well, speaking of friends, tell your friends. Tell our friends. Rate us, review us, like us, subscribe us. Do us on, find us on all the places. Do all the things.
Do all the things.
My God. And make good choices.
Oh, and snacks. Snacks for your friends. Get the snacks. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hey friends, thanks for listening to the CKNGK podcast. Find us at CKNGK podcast on Instagram and Twitter, and rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, or anywhere else that you pod. See you next time.